Okay, everyone, so I guess we can start. So, as always, I'll be starting off by giving some instructions, and then we'll try it out in practice afterwards, which is a great combination. So one of the things, I was just speaking to someone today, and very interesting, when you talk informally about people, about their meditation practice, you come to understand what the blockages that people have in meditation, what they are all about. And one of the things, kind of one of the recurring difficulties, many people enjoy meditation and they enjoy that meditation up to a point, they feel more peaceful, they feel more relaxed, they feel more at ease. And of course, all of those things are very important, and all of these things are something that you should enjoy in your meditation practice. But of course, the purpose of meditation is really more than that. It's more than just feeling at ease and feeling relaxed. That's great already, but ultimately you want to take it beyond that, take it to a deeper level where we feel a sense of joy and happiness, where we feel a sense of, you know, we're feeling that we're almost like we're transcending this world to a certain extent and getting in touch with something very profound inside of us. And to do that, one of the important things that you find in the suttas, in the word of the Buddha again and again, to boost the meditation practice, is always about giving rise to this sense of joy and happiness and gladness in the mind. This is what drives the mind forward. This is what provides the glue, right? The glue that glues you on to the meditation, that makes the meditation so fascinating and interesting. And this is a topic that the Buddha talks about very often in the suttas, how to give rise to this gap, because it is so essential for the whole process, because there is no real depth to, there is no full depth to meditation without that. It becomes a very important aspect of what the Buddha how the Buddha talks about this. And one way of looking at this, one way of doing this, is to remember one of the things the Buddha talks about is this thing he talks about called sila nusati, recollection of one's virtue, one's conduct, one's character, one's habits, if you like. And if you do this in the right way, if you live your life well, right, ordinary life well, you can then recollect that well-lived life in your meditation afterwards. And that would become the basis for that gladness. So how does this work? And sometimes many Buddhists think that, I keep the five precepts, and if I keep the five precepts, then I'm doing my duty or what I should be doing as a good Buddhist. And indeed you are. You are doing, you know, you're living the life of a good Buddhist if you do that. But if we really want the sila nusati to bite, to give us that joy and gladness in the meditation, it is not enough just to keep the five precepts. We have to kind of ramp up our practice to a higher level. And what we have to do very often is we have to actually be deliberately kind, deliberately good in our daily life. We have to ask ourselves questions like, how can I say something kind in this particular situation? How can I do an act of kindness? And if you're feeling a bit grumpy, you have to think, how can I avoid doing the bad, saying the wrong thing in this situation, right? And these are the kind of questions we should do, and we should actually deliberately cultivate goodness. And there's something very powerful that happens when you do that. When you deliberately try to say something nice to the person next to you, we know that we have so much power in our speech, right? Saying one thing can lead to somebody else's pain, or it can lead to somebody else's happiness. So if you have compassion for other people, and you understand the power in your speech, and then on top of that understanding, you actually do say something kind, you do an act of kindness, it has a very powerful impact on your mind, and it's something which is very easy to recollect later on. I have noticed that in my own life, and I recommend you to try to notice this in your own life too. If I do a number of sort of seemingly very trivial things, but one thing after the other, right? And then I recollect it afterwards. I feel really good about myself. I feel that I have done something worthwhile. I've kind of helped lift up myself and also the people around me. and it feels very powerful inside. Seems very trivial, little things in daily life, right? But actually, these things are what lift you up, and they leave a very powerful impact on your mind because you're doing it intentionally. Keeping the five precepts after a while becomes automatic. You don't think about it. That's why it doesn't leave a very powerful impact on the mind. Intentionally doing good things is often what lifts you up and leaves a powerful impact. Then when you come here, you sit down, right? And all you have to do often is just sit back and just ask yourself about how have I been spending my day? And then those, or the last week, or whatever it is, and those times when you have intentionally done something good, those times will come back to your mind and they will give you that gladness, that basis of joy, which then will enable your meditation, right, and make it powerful and profound. And then is when real meditation starts to happen. This is one way the Buddha talked about, and you can see here how integral everything becomes, right? The idea of sila, virtue, kindness, and how it integrates with the meditation practice. And this is why the Buddhist path always has to be developed in an integral way. All the factors coming together, that's when it becomes very powerful. Okay, so let's try it out in practice and see what happens. Okay, so I always recommend you to follow a similar procedure every time you sit down. Get into a good habit in your meditation practice. Sometimes things can be done quite fast, but it's good to go through all the steps to make sure everything is okay. And then there is a chance you may take this whole thing to a deeper level. So always good to start by focusing on the body. In the body you have all this accumulation of things that actually happen in the mind, but they accumulate in the body and they're felt in the body. So start off there, just to feel whether you're doing that much, you're already heading in the right direction. To be able to relax fully and completely and find that ease in the body and the mind. It is so important to have that sense of kindness and compassion and caring inside of you. And just by thinking of yourself with a caring attitude, that is often enough to really allow the meditation and the ease and the calm to become deeper. A simple technique is just to think of yourself or think of your body as your own little baby. You are your own baby, so to speak. And a baby needs to be cared for 100%. And towards a baby, which is an innocent being, it is always the right thing, is always kindness and compassion and care. So with that kind of attitude towards yourself, you can really find that sense of ease more quickly, just by caring, just by being kind. And just keep on developing that perception of kindness and caring. And as you do that, something quite marvelous happens. Things tend to die down, the thinking and everything else. And a sense of ease and mindfulness arises in its place. It's almost as if the arising of mindfulness is just automatic. And that is the ideal way for it to arise. So if you find that that softness inside, the caring, the kindness, hasn't arisen yet, then continue with the perception that gives rise to that. Whether it is imagining yourself as a baby or perhaps a small animal or whatever it is, something that arises, that sense of kindness inside of you. And then see if the mindfulness arises. That's where we want to get to. And when you feel that you are at ease, you are relaxed, the mind is comfortable, and you feel a fairly natural mindfulness being present, that is often the time you need a little bit of boost to allow yourself to take the meditation to a deeper level. So try to recall the past. Let your mind just linger on something good from the past. Something good you have done with a strong intention. And feel the power of that goodness. Allow it to flood your mind. And see if you can give rise to some joy just on that very simple thing. Just by remembering an act of kindness from the past. And if that works, if the joy arises, then make it as strong as you can. And then when it gathers strength, that is the right time to move on to something like the breath meditation. And we're now coming to once more to the end of the meditation. So I'd like you just to invite you to review the process in your mind, what has happened from the beginning to now, and understand the causes, the conditions, the perceptions that you have given rise to, the intentions that you have made, and to understand that whole process of meditation, how it actually works. And as you do this, you can speed up the understanding of the path and how it all works. Okay, so are there any questions or comments from anyone? Everybody good? Okay, great. That's always a good sign. So let's have a look at what these incoming questions from the outside of the center, what people have to say here. Louise Larmay, when I start to meditate, I become fearful of the relaxed feeling here. How can I let go of the fear and stay in meditation? Thank you. I'm fearful of the relaxed feeling. What is going on is that perhaps you're feeling that you are losing control. That could be one of the reasons. One of the senses of self, one of the aspects of the ego, is that we always want to control things. We want to feel that we are in charge. And when you start to relax, it's a bit like you're letting go of control. You're just allowing things to go with the flow, right? That's basically what it is about. So one of the ways of overcoming that is just to feel the ease, feel the goodness of being relaxed, what it feels like. And the more you enjoy that, the more you feel that that actually is a positive feeling, the easier it is to let go of that ego and the controlling inside. And you won't take that so seriously anymore. So usually that, I think, is the most likely explanation. Maybe there could be other reasons, but check that out first of all and see if that makes any difference for you. Okay, I'm not sure if this person is called Learn or whether that is some kind of nickname or something. But anyway, this is the question. Is there a mantra that you can suggest to use that can immediately help to ease such negative feelings as anger, frustration or fear often encountered daily? Thank you. That can immediately do this? Well, I think you can use a mantra if you like. I don't particularly recommend, the Buddha didn't really teach mantras as a meditation technique, but you can. And the most best way of doing that is to use some kind of word that resonates with you, right? Some word that feels good and that resonates. Some people like just the word peace. Some people might like the word just care or something like that. Something that you can just repeat over and over again, which resonates with you, has a meaning for you. But you don't have to do that. You can often, it is just a matter at the beginning of the meditation, instead of using a mantra, it's much better to try to use your mind in such a way as to overcome those negative feelings. right? If there's somebody in your life, a person or whatever, who regularly you find difficult to deal with, you have to learn to change your perception about that person. How can you view them in such a way that it doesn't give rise to anger, but it gives rise to compassion instead? Right? Sometimes if it is somebody close to you, like a family member, if it's a daily problem, and sometimes you just need to go on a holiday every now and again. Come down here to, I don't know where you are, but come to the Dhammadokka Center, come to Dhana Grove, go on a meditation retreat, right? Sometimes you, even if you are from overseas, you can come all this way. Many people come from overseas to take part in the meditations. So here, get away a little bit, give you some perspective, learn how to look at that person in a different way. Just remind yourself of some very simple truths. If somebody is difficult, nobody really wants to be difficult, right? Very often they want to be kind because they know kindness is right, but they can't help themselves. Because the conditioning is so strong. And somebody who can't help themselves because the conditioning is so strong, they are worthy of compassion. They don't know what they're doing. They're just deluded. They're just following the old habits of the past, right? In this way, you recondition the way you look at people. It's a very powerful technique once you get into these things, and you can change the way you look at somebody in a fairly short amount of time. So this is better. So do that at the beginning of the meditation. Change your attitude so that you at least you neutralize that person, and then you go into the meditation, and then you go move on towards kindness and care and these things that soften you up. It's important to feel soft, right? When you feel soft, you feel at ease. If you feel hard, you don't feel that really relaxed and really at ease. That softness is very important. Okay. Last person, this is from Aran Lin. Should we be compassionate towards people who took advantage of our kindness in any form, as the hatred we have against won't let us do it? Okay, so if somebody has taken advantage of you, yes, you should still have compassion and kindness. Remember, it is really their problem. If they take advantage of you, they are the fool, not you. So, you know, you can just shrug your shoulders. Okay, you have done the right thing. You have lived in a good way. You have nothing to fear from your own conduct. And don't allow yourself to be influenced by other people in that way. Have compassion, but just allow that compassion to be inside of you. If you feel that you have been taken advantage of, pull back. Don't deal with them so much. You know, get out of the way, because obviously otherwise you're just going to hurt yourself. But still have compassion inside. Understand that they are the one who has a problem, not you. Because they have the problem, they are deluded, they don't understand. Compassion is the right attitude. At the same time, don't allow them to hurt you. Right? Little things like that. It's just feel what seems right. And as you do that, you will find the way through this. Okay, excellent. That's all for today. So let's just pay respect to Buddha Dhamma Sangha. So, later on, yeah.